Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Actually, I wanted to say this before I get into the message today. Next week, we start a series called Foundations. Every year when we come to birthday at Hope City, we just go back to the beginning. And we talk about the mission and the vision of Hope City, what we are built on. And this year, our foundation series is going to look a little different. We're still going to preach and we're going to teach on our mission and our vision. And if you're unfamiliar with that, our mission is love God, love people. And our vision is fully loved, safe to heal, and equipped to make a difference. But we're also going to be speaking on some additional things in this series about what it means when we say Hope City culture. Some of the things that when you walk in this place, you're like, man, this is how it feels here. We're going to talk about why does it feel that way. What are things that we have built into Hope City culture for why it feels the way it does? And you're not going to want to miss a single message in that series. Speaking about messages in series, if you have missed any messages in the Call to Rest series, I want to encourage you to go online and listen to them. Because we have been teaching these past few weeks about something that really is a forgotten practice in our world, definitely in our nation. And it's about resting in God. It's about taking a day of rest. Newsflash, even God took a day of rest when he created the heavens and the earth. So if the creator of heaven and earth took a day to rest and reflect on the goodness of himself, how much more do you and I need to take a day to rest and reflect and delight and stop what we normally do? And I know this message series, A Call to Rest, has created some buzz because I've heard you guys talking about it. Like, what does this look like for me? And I'm going to tell you, it's going to look different for every single person in this room. Some of you, stopping what you're doing looks different than other people. Some of you are like, I even heard it today. Like, listen, the cows still have to be milked. You're right. The diapers still have to be changed. The family still has to be fed, right? It's going to look different for every single person depending on the season of life that you're in. So don't let what one person's Sabbath looks like dictate what yours should look like. You need to listen to the Father's heart for you, not for anybody else. What is the Father's heart for Sabbath for you? What is the Father's heart for rest for you? The longer you and I go without rest, let me just say this. Take out the you part. I'm going to talk about from a personal standpoint. The longer I go without rest, the longer and the more easily I become reliant on myself. I've shared before, I'll share again. One of my false protectors, a big one, was self-reliance. What can I do to produce the outcome that I need to see? Me, I have to do this. I have to do this. And I find that the longer I go without taking a rest, without stopping, the more self-reliance tries to wiggle its way back in and get me to partner with it. You know, the principle of Sabbathing, the principle of stopping, resting, and delighting is similar to the principle of tithing or of giving. I can say I give 10% of my income back to God by giving at the place where I worship, because he promises me in his word that he can do more with my 90% than I can do with 100%. That's his promise to me. I choose to Sabbath because through God, I can accomplish more in 6 days than I could ever accomplish on my own in 7. I can, because he promises it. And most importantly to this whole thing is there is a peace, a contentment, a quietness that comes when I'm obedient. I don't have to fret and worry and strive because I know I'm being obedient to what God has asked me to do. And he's going to make sure that I have everything I need to accomplish what needs to be done. Right? When I do my part and I'm obedient, God moves on my behalf. And I don't have to worry about it. It's something that he reminded me about this week as I was preparing for this message. It's the end of our sermon series. And at the end of a sermon series throughout the year, we have always ended our sermon series with a message that ties back to our theme for the year. This year, Hope City's theme for 2024 is Bear Good Fruit. So, what does it look like to bear good fruit regarding resting? What does that look like? And I'm looking through the passage of scripture that I was given to preach on, and I was like, God, this is hard. Like, how am I supposed to pull a message about bearing good fruit and Sabbathing and resting out of this? And you know what he said? He said, why are you striving? Why are you trying? Why are you working so hard to make it happen? Do you trust me? So, folks, I don't really know what's going to come out of my mouth today. Because, I have some notes here, but Holy Spirit's just kept downloading over the last 3 days, more and more and more. So I'm like, okay. And I didn't write any of it down. It's just all up here. So when he brings it to mind, I'm just going to share it with you today, okay? All right? But when I am obedient to God's word, I could be guaranteed of this. He's going to produce good fruit in my life. Yeah. Let me just say that one more time. When I'm obedient to God's word, I can be promised, I can be assured that good fruit is going to be produced. Yeah. Here's a side note for you. I can't just pick and choose what I like from God's word to be obedient to. I can't just pick and choose it. I can't say, well, I believe this part, but I don't necessarily believe this part. I either believe all of it or I believe none of it. There's no in between there. God's word is alive and active. Every part of it is true. So either I believe it all, or all of it is false. There's no in between. Okay? Today's passage is going to pick up right where Pastor Jason left off. Where Pastor Jason left off, Jesus was being challenged by religious leaders regarding the Sabbath. Listen, Jesus wasn't the only, he didn't introduce the idea of taking a Sabbath, of taking a rest. It was written in the law of the Old Testament. It was one of the Ten Commandments to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. So this wasn't a new idea, but like so many times, religious leaders came in and attached rules and expectations to what God's word had said. How many times have rules and expectations been attached to something that weren't necessarily from God? Right? And so here's Jesus on the Sabbath day. And The religious rules for the Sabbath is you don't do any work. And Jesus, controversial as he is, reaches out and heals a man that has a crippled hand, that has been like shrunken up and is held tight. And Jesus reaches out and touches him and heals him. And these religious leaders are in an uproar. They're like, what are you doing? That is work. And you just broke the Sabbath. And then they began to secretly plot in their hearts how they could kill him. That was how Pastor Jason's message ended last week. Wasn't it great? Let's see how we can kill the man who gave us Sabbath, gave us the gift of the Sabbath. So let's pick right up in Matthew chapter 12, verses 15 to 21. And here's what happened. It says, but Jesus knew what they were planning, so he left that area, and many people followed him. He healed all the sick among them, but he warned them not to reveal who he was. This fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah concerning him. And now Matthew references back to Isaiah 42, I believe. He references back to Isaiah 42 right here. Here's what Isaiah said regarding the Messiah. Look at my servant whom I have chosen. He's my beloved who pleases me. I will put my spirit upon him and he will proclaim justice to all the nations. He will not fight or shout or raise his voice in public. He will not crush the weakest reed or put out a flickering candle. Finally, he will cause justice to be victorious, and his name will be the hope of the world. What in the world does this have to do with Sabbath and bear good fruit? Well, the first thing that I want you to recognize is that those religious leaders did not understand the purpose of Sabbath. They didn't. And there's going to be people in your life that don't understand your Sabbath. Some people will not understand. Explain and teach when invited, right? Explain why you're doing this. Explain why you take a time to stop, rest, delight. But don't defend. Don't engage. When people didn't understand Jesus' behavior, what does it say he did? He left that area. He just quietly was like, well, I think I'm done here, and walked off. Right? Some people aren't going to understand. You don't have to defend God's word. It defends itself. Plain and simple. God's word doesn't need your defense. It just needs your obedience. God's word does not need your defense. It just needs your obedience. Right? So what does it look like to bear good fruit in regards to stopping, resting, and delighting? Well, if we are truly, if we take God's word for truth, this is what it says. That when I make a decision to accept Jesus for who he is and was, the Son of God who came to earth to live a pure and sinless life and sacrifice himself on a cross for all the sins of all people forever, and then be raised back to life, where he then ascended back up into heaven and one day is coming back for his people who believe in him. If that's who I claim to be, a believer in Jesus who have accepted his forgiveness for my sins, his Holy Spirit is now dwelling in me. If God's Holy Spirit is dwelling in me, then the prophecies that Isaiah spoke about Jesus should be true about me as well. Right? So if we're going to look at this prophecy from Isaiah that Matthew said, and this is what Jesus did, and he fulfilled this prophecy, what should I do about this prophecy? Isaiah starts out in chapter 42, verse 1, and he says, "Look at my servant whom I strengthen. He is my chosen one who pleases me. I have put my spirit upon him, and he will bring justice to the nations." Listen to me carefully. You are chosen and loved by Father God. Do you hear that? You are chosen and loved by Father God. And Father God brings justice to the nations through our obedience, through your obedience, through my obedience, by using our voice and our story and our behaviors. Jesus can bring justice to the nations through you by simply being obedient to what his word says. And, just in case you missed this, there's no yelling required. Did you miss that? Let me show you. In verse 2 of Isaiah 42, it says, "He will not shout or raise his voice in public." When I read this, I think of a documentary I watched once called Father of Lights. And this whole documentary was talking about, like, how do you show God's love to people? How do you show God's love to people? And it gave all these different examples of people who thought they were showing God's love. And one group of people had all of these signs, like, "Repent." Like, "The kingdom of God is coming. Turn or burn." That's what these signs said. And they're on these signs, and they're walking up and down the streets of Venice Beach, California. And so if you're not familiar with Venice Beach, it's a very interesting place. Okay? It's an interesting place. And you can see 100 different types of people that gather there on the daily, okay? And here's these people walking up and down the streets of Venice Beach, and they're just yelling what's on their sign. How many people do you think stopped and talked to them? Zero. In the portion that I saw, zero people stopped and talked. There was people that, like, looked at them and, like, crossed over the other side of the street, right? But not one person stopped and talked to them, because talking about God doesn't require us to yell. It's the Spirit of God that convicts man to repentance. I just quoted Bible to you, okay? It's the Spirit of God that convicts men to repentance, not me. We don't need to yell. We don't need to raise our voice. Jesus simply spoke. God's message will speak for itself. I saw a sign the other day. This man was standing on the side of Highway 62, Crater Lake Highway. This big sign, like, bigger than him, and it says, "Abortion is homicide." That's what it said. And I looked at it, I was like, ew, That is gross. I am sure any woman who's ever walked through the heartbreak of abortion looks at that sign and is like, oh man, that is so true. I need to go and talk to God about that. No, you know what that sign does? That sign says, you know what? God hates you. You know what? God is so ashamed of what you've done. That's what that sign says. When women who are dealing with the heartbreak of abortion simply need to hear, I love you. I have such a better promise for you. Stop punishing yourself. Come on, take my hand. Walk with me. That wasn't even in my notes. Maybe that hit a nerve for some of you in this room today. So glad to hear that. Stay tuned for life groups next week. There's something coming just for you. Bearing good fruit is hard work. Do you know that? In order for us to bear good fruit, it requires us to be continually in touch with Father God's heart, knowing that we're in alignment with Him, that we're wearing His yoke. I'm referencing a lot of past messages here. If you're missing any of the references, you should probably go back and listen to messages that you've missed. Okay? Because bearing good fruit takes work. And I want you to know, I see your work. We see you. I have seen work that has been happening in this place since we launched this theme, bear good fruit. Some of you are like, I've been working so hard. Same. I'm tired. Same. And that's why this week, God was saying, listen, sometimes bearing good fruit doesn't mean you're doing anything except being with me. Yeah. Do you hear me? Sometimes bearing good fruit means just being in God's presence and not doing anything else. But that's really hard. It's really hard just to, I have to like be doing something. I got to show Him that I'm serious. The creator of the universe knows your heart. The creator of the universe knows who you are. And He knows what you're doing. And this week, to bear good fruit, He wants you to take a deep breath. Everyone right now with me, just take a deep breath. And everyone close your eyes as I read Psalms 91 over you right now. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust Him. For He will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with His feathers. He will shelter you with His wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Open your eyes as we finish this section. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust Him. for he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Ooh, it gets really good right here. Don't be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor arrows that fly during the day. Do not dread the disease that stalks in the darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 may fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. Just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. Listen, if you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your home, for he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. He will hold you up with their hands, so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. You will trample on lions and serpents. You will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. Woo! Then the Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will be with them. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. Take another deep breath. This is what the Lord says to you today. Bearing good fruit means to rest and take time to let his promises sink in, to sink in deep.
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.